April 1st gives us a chance to celebrate the ridiculous in the world around us. And for years now, JPR has celebrated with a special show on our rhythm and news service called Sleazy Listening. It's a collection of some of the more, well, let's say interesting sounds committed to recording. Our guide to the weird and not so wonderful is Ed Polish, who in addition to being our once-in-a-while radio host, runs a novelty company called Ephemera Inc. in Phoenix, and he is the leader of Ashland's Bad Film Society, cult-like leader in some references. Ed Polish, good to have you back on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, hi.
So Sleazy Listening tonight at 8 on the Rhythm and News Service, and we appreciate the preview here. You're that rare person who seems to have actually built a career out of jokes. How did that happen?
Oh, as a kid, I grew up on Alan Sherman, Mad Magazine, Mothers of Invention, Tiny Tim's, Fireside Theater, whatever. And I've always appreciated humor, but I'm shy. So instead of being a stand-up comedian, I'm kind of a behind-the-scenes sit-down comedian. And I found a niche through Ephemera to actually make a career out of it. But I do novelty buttons, magnet stickers, and the humor just seems to keep me going, and you know, I license it for books and kitchen towels and mugs and so on, and then I have this outlet through Sleazy Listening and the Bad Film Society to it's a lifestyle. It's fun.
We'll be talking about the Bad Film Society and the Ashland Codependent Film Festival, which is kind of funny because we just had the folks from the Ashland Independent Film Festival. We'll keep them apart for just a few minutes more.
Right.
Talk about that later. But so Sleazy Listening. Did your parents have big plans for you? And I'm just curious about what career they had in mind for you that turned into this this making jokes and novelties thing.
Nah. They were just very liberal parents that just let me do whatever I wanted. They didn't even give me a middle name. They just gave me an initial and let me pick my middle name. So I don't remember picking Dan, but that's what I got. I would have picked Weasel.
Okay. Well, there's still the opportunity here if the spirit moves you. So when picking things to play for the Sleazy Listening radio show, what are some of the attributes you look for or the standards you set or if there are even in standards?
Well, I have a collector mentality. I've always been a collector all my life, toys, you know, rock stamps, whatever. And collecting music to me is the same thing. Whatever makes me laugh and is funny, I've known people that dry academics try to figure out what humor is and what makes it work, and I just say no. Whatever, you know, you see it when you know it. It's the Supreme Court definition of pornography. You know it when you see it.
I remember that obscenity. Yeah. Well, I can't provide standards, but I know it when I see it. So
yes.
So what do you have? Let's give an example here. What's one of the first ones on your list here?
Well, when Bob Dylan recorded the Blonde on Blonde sessions, they just put out a big CD retrospective of all the outtakes from that. But he had Bob Johnson, the producer, put together a Salvation Army-type band of studio musicians to record Rainy Day Women. But Bob Johnson kept the musicians in the studio and got a washerwoman to sing along. And this did not make it on the bootleg set that just came out, but I got a copy of it, so we can play that now.
Here's Rainy Day Women with a different vocalist. So yeah, she's not bad.
And yeah, I just didn't even know about that until recently, and it was just with the collector mentality, this is like finding gold. It's like finding a diamond. So that's the kind of stuff. So keeps me going.
The process of collecting musical or at least recorded oddities has changed a bit over the years. I mean, it used to be you'd comb through a record store, I think, and go to a place like Relics Records in Grants Pass or something. But so how do you do that now in the age of the internet? It's probably easier and harder at the same time.
Oh no, it's much easier. I think Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones said we live in a post-rarity age, where you can go online and find any rarity by the Rolling Stones, any live recording somewhere on the internet. So you just have to look around and you'll find it.
Does anything, since we talk about recordings here, and anything that's ever been recorded, the Grateful Dead encourage people to record at their concerts. Does anything of theirs ever rise to the level of your attention, or is there just so much of it and it's all straight?
So straight. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go, archive.org has just about everything they've ever recorded, and it's just not sleazy listening material. It's, I think, the Grateful Dead are great in their own right, but it's just not. There's plenty of other outlets for that kind of stuff.
So has there been anything in your search for these oddities over the years where like you just heard the first couple of seconds you heard, you just ended up on the floor laughing and couldn't get up for a couple of minutes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll be playing. It's all the time. I mean, when I hear Jim Nabors singing or Mrs. Miller or, you know, William Shatner or Leonard Nimoy, it's just too much. Yes.
Jim Nabors is a funny case because, you know, he played that character, Gomer Pyle, first on the Andy Griffith Show and then on his own sitcom on CBS in the mid-60s. Shazam, shazam. And he sounded like a total goober, which he was meant to. He sounded like a Gomer. But then when he sang, he had this hello voice, just amazing, almost operatic baritone.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. But then there's also Tiny Tim, which to me is the epitome of what I look for. He's serious, but it's hysterical, and he's in on the joke, kind of. But he actually used to, when Bob Dylan first came to New York City, he stayed in Tiny Tim's apartment. And they were good friends, and they remained friends. And I have a cut by him, which to me is one of the best cuts by Tiny Tim.
Okay, we'll hear that when we come back from a break. We'll take one now. This is Ed Polish is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He puts together a program that we run on April Fool's Day every year called Sleazy Listening. It'll be tonight at 8 on the Rhythm and News Service of JPR, a longer version of this. Ed's just giving us a little taste right here. So we'll come back and talk with him. And we invite you to join in the conversation. Give us your nominations for some of the worst recordings of all time. And when we come back and talk about Sleazy Listening, we'll take your calls and emails as well. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. This is the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. No, we have not taken over Rush Limbaugh's time slot today, but we did borrow his music. You got to do something on April Fool's Day. We're talking about fun recordings with Ed Polish, who runs Ashland's Bad Film Society and a company called Ephemera, Inc. He is also the host of our Sleazy Listening Show once a year on April Fool's Day. That'll be tonight at 8 on the Rhythm and News Service of JPR. You can join our discussion here on The Exchange at 800-838-3760. Your nominations for some of the worst recordings you've ever heard. Also by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So we teased Tiny Tim coming into the break, which is really, I never realized that he and Bob Dylan had a connection.
Speaking of Rush Limbaugh, I don't know how the Pretenders feel about him taking that riff.
I've always wondered. I've never looked it up. I can't imagine that Chrissy Hynde feels that good about that, but there you go.
Well, yeah, let's play a little Tiny Tim.
Okay.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone.
Brilliant.
Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down.
We can do a little Bernie after this, too.
Okay, but, that's amazing.
When you're strange.
So everybody knows that the Doors are, not everybody knows, everybody of a certain age knows that the original Doors version of that song, which is, you know, it's got its own tone to it, but I had never expected to hear what I was hearing there. That's pretty amazing. And Tiny Tim probably is a rich vein of stuff to mine, I would think.
Oh, yeah. I found a multi-CD set. He's actually an encyclopedic, knowledgeable person about pop music going back to the 20s and so on. He's a brilliant brilliant guy, or was a brilliant guy. We miss him now.
He really was a character of his times. It's kind of hard to describe how Tiny Tim emerged from the counterculture of the 60s, but he was on Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In', which was the show that everybody watched to get all their jokes one night a week, and went from there to getting married on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Oh, yeah, that was a big deal.
All kinds of fun stuff. You dropped the name Bernie Sanders just a moment ago.
Oh,
Bernie,
yeah.
Sanders in the context of sleazy listening and records. How's the connection there?
Well, in 87, he did a folk album, or kind of growled a folk album with kind of a reggae beat. So I have a little bit of that to share with everybody.
Okay, let's get a clip of that. Bernie Sanders.
As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley, and that on this earth there will be peace, there will be justice, there will be human brotherhood.
Okay, so a sample of Bernie Sanders, the vocal stylings of Bernie Sanders in his musical career. This is a bunch of people from Vermont got together for this album, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, it was, you know, he's from Vermont, so somehow it was a fundraiser for something. But it's hard to believe that's not Larry David doing a satire of him, but that was a real thing. And I found a copy of it, and you'll get to hear the whole thing tonight between 8 and 10 on the Rhythm News Station.
So I wonder if this has increased in value, given that Bernie Sanders is now a viable candidate for the President of the United States, if people are starting to ask more for this than they might have a few months ago.
Well, after the show, it'll definitely. It's going to go
after
viral.
Tonight's sleazy listening.
I don't think too many people know about it. It's kind of a hidden gem. That I will be playing a tribute to Donald Trump also, but you'll have to wait till this evening to hear that.
Oh, okay. Well, tease us a little. So the something Donald Trump actually did musically, anything like this Bernie Sanders thing, or is it something somebody else put together?
Something somebody else put together, but it's worth tuning in to hear.
You mentioned William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy. Had they both done records? Did either of them sing, or was it all the sort of talking over the music thing?
It depends on your definition of sing, I'd say. But yeah, I mean, the best is probably Shatner singing Rocket Man, the Elton John song. But I've played that in the past. But
there's a version that I had a chance to look at yesterday. There's a video that goes with this too, where somebody introduces Bernie Taupin at an awards show. Bernie Taupin introduces William Shatner, who then is smoking a cigarette. Have you seen that version of it?
I think so, yes.
It's pretty crazy. But, you know, the funny thing with Shatner is that he kind of turned the mocking back on itself. He came up with an album called Has Been later in his career. This is something I wanted to add to the offerings today, because Shatner went back and did more material later on where he was talking rather than singing, but with the addition of other musical elements and some actual singing, he came up with, well, for example, he did a version of Common People, a song by the British group Pulp, and this is what actually got me to like the song in the first place. This is William Shatner's version of Common People.
You want to live like common people? You want to see whatever common people see? You want to sleep with common people? You want to sleep with common people like me? But she didn't understand. She just smiled and held my hand.
And that's the point when I said, wow, William Shatner sings pretty good. But no, that's Joe Jackson doing this too. But it is kind of funny how these genres can come back and begin to double back on themselves and mix in with the satire.
Yes, it's good when, well, sometimes unintentional humor is good, and sometimes intentional humor is good when there's no rules on that.
So what else did you bring in for sleazy listening that you can share with us by way of a preview now?
Well, Bill Cosby actually had a recording career, and it's amazing. I went through and listened to a bunch of it, and now that he's in the news again, I thought I'd share a little bit of him.
Okay.
So we can play a song.
What? What you say? Now we gonna get down with the chicken. You gotta eat it to enjoy it. Cause you love it. You got to have it. Good God. Chicken. eat it, but don't beat it. You gotta eat it to know it. You gotta eat it to love it. When your babies say,
cluck, cluck, cluck. They're saying cluck, cluck, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay, that's the vocal stylings of Bill Cosby. He actually did a talky version of a Stevie Wonder song, I remember, too. Do you remember that Baby Everything's All Right? He did that? Okay.
It's
he made his name with a comedy album. He made a lot of money on comedy albums, but when he turned to this kind of stuff, I imagine people went, eh? What goes on? So are there, Ed Polish, are there certain genres that really lend themselves to mockery or things that seem to be a richer vein than any others for the kinds of things you want to play on the Sleazy Listening Show?
It's all over the place. I found a Jane Mansfield cut where she basically just moans and groans and makes kind of hot sounds, but her background, the backing guitar track is Jimi Hendrix, and it's before he was famous. He was doing session work, so that's the epitome of sleazy listening. Or then there's, you know, intentional comedy. I have a Buddy Hackett song he did in his Chinese satire voice, which would never go nowadays. And I also have a Lenny Bruce. So some of it's comedy and some of it's, I have Porter Wagner singing about being in a rubber room, being crazy. So it's like I said before, you know it when you hear it.
Ed Polish is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He'll be hosting a show tonight for April Fool's Day on the Rhythm and News Service of JPR from 8 to 10 called Sleazy Listening. So we're celebrating some of the items that'll be in that show. And it's some really strange recordings from through the years. And you can join the discussion. You can make a nomination for one of the weirdest recordings you've ever heard, or maybe the worst song you ever heard. There's a rich field to be mined there. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Is there a holy grail? Are there things, for example, that you have heard about? Recordings that are rumored to exist, but that nobody can actually lay their hands on.
Oh, I think what's great is finding what you don't know about. That's the holy grail, and it's all over the place. Like I just found some great Tammy Faye Baker cuts where she talks in her puppet voice.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and.
Is this before the PTL Praise the Lord television show or during?
Oh, probably during.
Wow.
She was great, and so when you find, it's more finding stuff you don't even know exists. For me, there's no holy grail. The holy grail is what you don't know about.
It's often a connection to a person. It sounds like if you hear a person doing something they weren't known for, that is what tends to raise the bar a little bit for sleazy listening.
Or finding that Paul Jones, the lead singer from the original Manfred Mann group, sang easy listening versions of Sex Pistols songs.
Really?
Yes.
Will those be on tonight's show?
Well, I have one of his Ramones song. He'll be doing Sheena is a Punk Rocker tonight.
Oh, in easy listening style.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's really a reason to listen. That's tonight, 8 to 10, again, on the Rhythm and News Service of JPR. Here's a call from Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Exchange with Ed Polish.
Gentlemen, you did hear they finally got all of the makeup off Tammy Faye Baker.
Did not hear that.
And you know who they found.
Oh, no. Who?
Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, that's
man.
Corny.
Yeah.
No, that's a good joke.
Yeah, it is.
It's April Fool's Day. So, the all-time worst piece of music that I have ever heard has to go to William Shatner singing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Worse than Rocket Man?
Oh, my God.
It's subjective.
Probably can't say that on the air, but yes, it's painful.
Uh-huh.
So there you have it. I'll be listening tonight.
All right. Thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. We can take other nominations for the worst song you've ever heard. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let me get in one here. This is one that I actually know all the words to this, I have to admit. It's that much of an earworm, but it's also the kind of thing that once you once you start humming it, it's going to be there for a couple of days. So see if you recognize this one from the 1970s. This is one of my offerings here for sleazy listening.
Goodbye, my friend, it's hard to die when all the birds are singing in the sky. Now that spring is in the air, pretty girls are everywhere. Think of me and I'll be there.
Everybody.
We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun.
Yeah, Seasons in the Sun by Terry Jacks from the 1970s, and one of those things that has just the right combination of catchy melodies and cloying saccharine lyrics, and oh wow, that's
I'd call that a guilty pleasure. I actually really like it.
That's the thing. It is that catchy. It's one of those songs you love to hate. There are other ones that I could list, but you have a lot of fun putting this together, don't you? I mean, is it hard to whittle down the material for just a 2-hour show?
I'd say the opposite. I'm so critical of only playing really, really. Every song has to be amazing. So I listen to a lot, and just to narrow it down to a little, to just 2 hours is hard. The same way with my Bad Film Society. I watch a lot of movies and then pick just the few that really are worth showing.
All right, so since you mentioned the Bad Film Society, good chance for us to make the turn into the final part of this segment, which is to talk about the fact that you not only have Sleazy Listening coming up tonight at 8 on the Rhythm and News Service of JPR, but you also are hosting something called the Ashland Codependent Film Festival. So why don't you back up a little bit and tell us about the Bad Film Society and its creation?
Oh, I started it with a friend, John Javna, over 10 years ago as kind of a satire of a film fest, of a film society. We called it the Bad Film Society, and just did it as a joke. And now it's being done in the Elks. The Elks have an over 100-year-old building in downtown Ashland. It's only open to members, except for rare occasions, like for the Bad Film Society. It's one of the few buildings in Ashland that's not. It's a non-commercial building. It's a beautiful place, and it's a great place to visit, and that'll be on Sunday the 3rd, which is this Sunday, at 6 o'clock in the rear entrance on Will Dodge Way between 1st and 2nd Street.
Why does it not surprise me to hear that you're friends with John Javna, who was the creator of the Uncle John's Bathroom Reader series?
Oh, yeah.
It's a very similar sense of humor.
For sure.
The Codependent Film Festival comes a week before the actual Ashland Independent Film Festival. Do you have communications with the real Ashland Film Festival? And on a scale of that's funny to we'll see you in court, how are they dealing with this?
they're nice. I just met the program, the new guy on the way out when he was leaving.
Oh, right. Yeah, you asked to cross paths.
So
yeah.
He said he'd come on Sunday. So I think they appreciate what I'm doing. The same way that there's the Sundance Festival and then there's the Slam Dance Festival. It's just kind of a good satire of something classy, we do something kind of silly.
Before we get to the film offerings, I want to take a call here from another nomination for a bad song. Here's Michael in Wonder. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Ed Polish.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood for April Fool's Day.
Indeed it is.
I was recently watching a DVD of Carol Burnett Show reruns, and we watched Dinah Shore sing 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. And so I would like to nominate that.
Okay, that's a fair nomination. I can imagine that might be a rich trove for you, Ed. Some of the things that people did when they got into variety shows, because there were so many of them.
Oh, my.
In the 60s into the 70s.
Yes, I'll look for that one for sure.
Okay, great stuff. So speaking of video then, so what makes a bad film an attraction? Because they're bad in one sense, but also the kinds of things you can't take your eyes off. Is it like watching car wrecks, some of these films?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many bad films that aren't worth seeing, like anything with Barbra Streisand. But then there's films that are just so entertainingly, stupidly, funnily bad, like the feature I'm showing, which was done by this director named Ron Orman. He did terrible exploitation films like Mesa of Lost Women, Untamed Mistress, The Girl from Tobacco Road, and Monster and the Stripper. But then he got in a plane crash and converted to Christianity after he survived it, and he started doing Christian films. But they still had exploitation and blood in it, And this film is about how communism exploits America, and by kind of infiltrating sex education films, drive-in movies, dancing, alcohols, drugs, magazines, Saturday morning cartoons. And
all the things we like, in other words, are going to turn
right,
us into
right, just everything we like. And then they take over America and start either re-educating or killing Christians. So it's this amazing film that who knows where it was shown to begin with. But
it's called If Footmen Tire You, What Will Horses Do? And it comes with a couple of other shorts. Pages of Death is one that really kind of jumps out. What's that about?
Well, the amazing thing about Pages of Death, it's about how dirty magazines cause violent crime. But what's amazing about it is it was considered a lost film until like a month ago when it was found in the archive of the Oregon Historical Society. And this will be a rare opportunity to see it.
Wow. Great stuff coming up for the Ashland Codependent Film Festival. Which night?
That's Sunday night, 6 o'clock, Ashland Elks Dungeon. And you can look at the badfilmsociety.org if you need any more information.
All right. And Ed Polish will be on Sleazy Listening tonight at 8 on the Rhythm and News Service of JPR. Great work as always, Ed. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you.